From the Mercy One Studio, live from the Iowa State Fair.
The Diocese of Des Moines prayerfully and proudly presents In the Heartland with Bishop Pates, a half hour of news, conversation, and reflection. And now, broadcasting In the Heartland, the Most Reverend Richard E. Pates, Bishop of Des Moines.
Welcome to In the Heartland with Bishop Pates, live from the Iowa State Fair. I'm Kelly Mesher-Collins with the Diocese of Des Moines. On today's show, we'll be visiting with Jen Cannon, Competitive Events Director here at the fair, and Delaney Irwin of St. Augustine Parish in Milo. We also have with us Maggie Stoddicker of St. Thomas Aquinas Parish in Indianola, who is also showing livestock here at the fair. But before we get to today's interview, let's find out what's on the Bishop's mind.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, Bishop.
We're kind of out here at the Bill Riley stage, very close to it, and enjoy this beautiful weather, kind of a cool day, so people should pack their lunch and get ready to come out here and enjoy the coolness of the Iowa State Fair.
That's right.
It's wonderful, too. You know, one of the great things about the Iowa State Fair is that they have Mass on Sundays in Pioneer Hall, and Monsignor Ed Hurley is the celebrant. And so, you know, might be a great thing for people to come out early, go to Pioneer Hall, and then enjoy the rest of the day after celebrating
That's
Mass.
That's right. The final day of the fair.
Right. And we want to thank all of our deacons who come here annually, right next to the Iowa Catholic Radio booth, and have an opportunity to reflect, discuss, etc. And occasionally, from time to time, is there available. Priests are here, too, for confessions. Mm-hmm. So you can, you know, come to the State Fair and take care of all your religious opportunities, too. So it's great to do it. So we want to thank Tom Bradley and all of the Minnesota State Fair people who, who would do so well also to make it kind of an opportunity to enjoy themselves. You know, the past week we had the convocation with our seminarians, and very excited about the new year as they approach, going back to the seminaries that they participate in. We'll have 17 seminarians this year, looking forward to enjoying them, and three new ones who are joining the seminary team, Jason Lee, Luke McSconnick, and Jonathan Ariola, and three wonderful young men. We had an opportunity to be with our Sarah Clubs, and the Sarah Clubs are those who gather together to promote, encourage vocations. It's a wonderful organization, and then an opportunity for luncheon and the introduction of all of our seminarians to those who are able to participate at the luncheon. It's a welcome and a send-off at the both at the same time, and thoroughly enjoyed it. So we thank God for that, the great blessings that they bring to us, and I encourage everybody to pray for them, pray for those who are thinking about becoming seminarians. And I think what is so extraordinarily important is just you see somebody whom you think might fit the model for a good priest, well, encourage them, ask them to think about it and to move forward with that in a beautiful day. And yesterday we had, of course, the celebration of the Feast of the Assumption at the cathedral. At least I was there at St. Ambrose. And again, what's so really beautiful for us to understand in that particular feast is, yes, Mary has arrived at the destiny that all of us one day hope to achieve, that we're really striving to do so. But what it reflects more than anything is God's unfailing mercy, that he truly wants us to be with him, that the journey that we're on is ultimately to enjoy the fullness of his life forever. He never gives up on us. And in the course of, with Mary yesterday, the beautiful Magnificat, which she explained to Elizabeth when she greeted her that day, and how God looks upon everybody with extraordinary love and care. And I think that's the one message, is that the Father saw in Mary what he sees in each of us, and what he wants us to someday participate in the fullness of life. So she's a model, but not remote. She's somebody who's very close to us and enables us to come to that wonderful experience. And then yesterday, you know, we have a wonderful staff, including you, Kelly, that's at the Pastoral Center and throughout the Diocese of Des Moines, and so we celebrated the 40th birthday of Jason Kurth. You know, he's been with us, at least with me, for these 10 years, done a terrific job with us, and his three little children were able to come down. So since he started his work at the Catholic Pastoral Center as first vice chancellor, then chancellor, he's found a wife and been endowed with three wonderful young children. So they're all doing tremendous. So wish him a very happy birthday. He's now in his 41st year, and grateful to you and to all for their great service to the diocese.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we'll welcome Jen Cannon, Competitive Events Director at the Iowa State Fair, and Delaney Irwin and Maggie Stoddicker. You're listening to In the Heartland with Bishop Pates, live from the Iowa State Fair on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
Thank you to Mercy College of Health Sciences, downtown Des Moines, for underwriting our show, The Uncommon Good, with me, Bo Bonner.
And I'm Bud Marr. A degree from Mercy College provides endless possibilities. Students have access to patients with complex medical conditions, state-of-the-art medical facilities, highly motivated healthcare professionals, and classroom professors that transform them into servant leaders.
You can start the programs in fall, spring, or summer. There are endless possibilities available online at mchs.edu/kwky.
Support for Dowling Catholic Sports 365 is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic, with two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling Catholic graduate, and Dr. Todd Pedig. The Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at Ashworth and 60th Street in West Des Moines, 515-440-4610, online at ashworthvision.com.
In the Heartland with Bishop Pates is heard every Friday morning at 9 across Central Iowa on Iowa Catholic Radio and in Nebraska and Southwest Iowa on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome back. I'm Kelly Mesher Collins with the Diocese of Des Moines. We're live from the Iowa State Fair. On today's show, we're visiting with Jen Cannon, Competitive Events Director here at the fair. We also have with us two young people, Delaney Irwin of St. Augustine Parish in Milo and Maggie Stoddicker of St. Thomas Aquinas Parish in Indianola, who have both been showing livestock here at the fair this week.
So delighted to welcome you, Jen. Thank you for joining us, and particularly you're in charge of all of the competition that goes on here, huh?
I am,
and
yeah.
And that's wonderful. We got two competitors right here with us today, and so delighted that they're sharing with us, Delaney and Maggie, and one that goes in for the, I think, the livestock, huh? The lambs and the cows, and then you're in with the pigs, huh? Yeah, and so that's wonderful that they're competing, and to see them involved with that, which is so essential to Iowa. We're farmers, huh? And we have a lot of farm activity and opportunity to be with it. So, Jen, now, delighted to welcome you. I know that Maggie is from St. Thomas Aquinas Parish, and we've got Delaney from St. Augustine Parish, and Milo, and Jen, one of our favorite Methodists, huh?
Yes, okay. Glad to join you.
Good to be with you, and it's really an honor to have you with us. How long have you been in this position now? Can you describe the position, first of all? I don't know if I completely communicated what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been with the Iowa State Fair for, this is my 16th fair, mm-hmm. and this is my 11th year in this position as a competitive events director. So my responsibilities include pretty much everything that gets a ribbon. So everything that you pre-register for. To bring to the fair and compete with, as well as all of our ag education programming, too.
Okay, so lots of competitors?
Yes.
How many were here this year?
So close to 60,000 entries.
60,000? How can you begin to start? You must have a lot of help.
We do have a lot of great superintendents that organize all of those competitions for us.
Do they start with the county fairs, or how did they move up the ladder?
So that's kind of one of the misnomers about the state fair. For 4-H competitions in the exhibits building, they do go to their county fair to qualify for state fair, but all other competitions, you just sign up for the state fair. You don't have to qualify at a local level to get to the state fair.
Right to the top. Okay, great. So, you know, so what do they have to do then to qualify? They come right to the top. Do they just have to show what they've done, or get into the whole competition?
Yeah, so for our youth projects for 4-H and FFA, they will nominate those livestock projects in May.
Okay.
So saying that they're working on this project and they're excited for it and doing all the work on mm-hmm. those projects in May. And then on July 1st, they nominate or they enter everything that they're going to bring to the fair. So 4-H and FFA is July 1st, along with most of our open class entries are due on July 1st. So you just about have to fill out the entry form and send that into our office to be eligible.
Okay, and then what goes on from there? How do they kind of go up the ladder?
Yeah, absolutely. And so at that time, once they've done their entry form, we send them all of the tags and parking passes and admission tickets and that they need to come to the fair. And then they will physically bring their projects here to the fair, and we have a robust schedule that they have to follow of getting livestock in and out of the barns. We turn those barns over three to four times, so it'll get cleaned out and reset three to four times throughout the fair.
That's something. So a lot of activity. And then they do the go through it, and if you have that many entries, how are you able to possibly process all of them?
Yeah, so we have a great set of interns that we hire every year that kind of take responsibility for processing all of those 60,000 entries, and then just making sure that everything is done correctly and creating our catalogs and knowing what livestock is coming onto the grounds. And then we hire a large amount of judges to actually evaluate all of those animals.
Okay, what animals are the most popular?
I think everyone has a different favorite.
Okay.
Everyone does, but I think our horse competitions are really strong. Okay. I think that's one of the iconic things about the Iowa State Fair is those draft horses that you hear, you know, those horseshoes on the pavement. That's an iconic Iowa State Fair sound to me.
Wonderful. Well, Kelly is our, you know, person here with us on the radio. She likes horses. So if there's an extra horse around, you know where you can direct it. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
If they have an individual who's looking for a horse or somebody who's, you know, an orphan horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get them. Hooked up. Yeah.
So she's dreaming of it, and that would relieve Jason because Jason wouldn't have to look around for a horse.
I am sure that someone would sell you a horse.
Probably give her one. That's what we're really thinking.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. An orphan horse. Right. Good. Well, we have two of the competitors with us today. And so we're very delighted to have them and welcome them. Delaney, good to see you. Now you're in seventh grade. That's remarkable that you're getting so involved. How long have you been involved with showing?
I've been involved in cattle for 8 years and sheep for 5 years.
Oh, my gosh. So you almost from age 5 or 6 or whatever?
Yes.
Isn't that something? Yeah, you're really good with it. So tell us about your cattle. What are you so proud of them for?
I work with them daily so that they're calm when they get here and they have hair so that we can get them ready to show and clip them and so that they will look nice for the judges.
Isn't that wonderful? How about the sheep?
The sheep you have to shear and work their leg wool so that they will look firm to the judge when they feel them and they look nice.
Oh, good. So they're really something very attractive that we like to look at and follow a little bit, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. So who helps you? You didn't just pick this up on your own. Your brother now, how old is he?
He's 8, and my parents helped me a lot with getting them to the barns and getting them here and just helping me get stuff prepared for fair.
Have you won any ribbons yet, or do you know yet?
I have blue ribbons with my sheep.
Wonderful. Isn't that terrific? Congratulations. You must be one of the younger ones that has won, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. And that shows a lot of good work on your part. And, you know, you're really going to have, even when you grow up a little more, lots of blue ribbons on your wall, huh?
Yeah.
What's the most rewarding thing, do you think, about, you know, taking care of animals like this and growing and developing them?
The most important part, mainly, is that they realize that that they shouldn't be afraid of you and you shouldn't be afraid of them.
I see. So you develop a certain comfortable relationship with them. Yeah. Who's been your favorite cattle all these years? Have you got a favorite?
My heifer from last year, her name's Nan. She's so sweet.
Is she? Okay. And she continues to do pretty well?
Yeah.
You don't have to send them to market?
No, she's a breeding heifer. She's bred, and we'll breed her next. Well, she's already bred right now, and she'll have a calf next January.
That would be hard, I think, if you had to send it away to market, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Well, that's great. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's wonderful, Delaney, to see you and to have you here with us. And we're also grateful for our other, very grateful to you too, Maggie, for being here and being with us from Indianola. Chris Fontanini, huh? Do you know Father Fontanini?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Now, you're going to be a senior this year at Indianola High. What's your favorite subject?
Math.
You like math. Well, good. That's a tremendous opportunity. Now, you raise horses. Is that it?
Or pigs.
Pigs. Oh, I'm sorry. I got that wrong. I had horses in mind with Kelly, you know. So that's good. And so, tell us about the pigs. How are they doing this year?
They did really well this year.
Or did they? And so what goes into raising a blue ribbon pig?
I have to walk them for 20-ish minutes a day.
Oh, do you?
And then I have to work on their skin and hair so that they look nice and shiny and clean. and then you have to feed them all special stuff.
Oh, do they probably enjoy that, huh?
Yeah.
They enjoy that special food that you provide for them and give to them. That's terrific, yeah. Now, they say pigs are highly intelligent animals. Do you find that to be true?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, they're kind of like people, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have what we call the old bell curve. Huh? Some are very smart in the middle and some at the tail end. And you always try to, exhibit the smart ones. Huh? What does a smart pig, how would you describe it? Do they catch on to everything pretty fast?
Yeah, they're kind of ornery.
They're ornery, okay. So that means they have their own way, huh? Mm-hmm. So they're smart enough to develop that. And what does a special food consist of?
There's like just different supplements and like mm-hmm. oats and feed that you put into it.
I see. And pretty tasty for them, do you think, or not?
Sometimes. They can be picky.
So they can be picky, huh?
They like marshmallows.
Oh, they like marshmallows. Well, good. All of us kind of like marshmallows. Do you roast them and have them roast around the fire or anything like that?
No.
No, you just give them straight marshmallows. Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you give them kind of as a reward?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they do a trick well, or they do obey, or aren't ornery. They give them a marshmallow, huh? To kind of keep them going. Yeah. So now, have you developed any relationship or affection for a particular pig or whatever? Are they all kind of the same?
Both. There's always like one or two that you kind of favor more than the others.
Is that right? Huh?
Yeah.
And the others probably don't. Get a little resentful, do they? If you show the one a little more intention than the other, huh?
Yeah.
So that's harder to deal with them sometimes. So what's been your favorite pig? You know, how many years have you been doing this?
I've been doing it for about 8 years.
Okay, you're already a future farmer of America, huh? You belong to FFA, that's terrific.
Yep.
And you got a great future ahead as you develop all this. So 8 years, you said, huh? Mm-hmm. And over those 8 years, can you describe one pig that's particularly stood out?
I mean, every year there's just, like, one, but I don't, like, not one in particular, really.
Not over those 8 years, but every year one stands out, huh?
Yeah.
And it rises above the crowd and all that sort of thing. So that must be hard, though, when it comes time to go to market, huh? Did all of them go to market, or how does that work out?
Yeah, unless they're breeding gilts, then they go back to the breeder.
Oh, I see. Okay, then they come back to you year after year. They go to the breeder, and then they take on. So you want to breed those with especially strong and positive qualities, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That stand out for you, too. So what are you looking forward now, Delaney, as you go back to school next year? What do you like to do, and what are you looking forward to as you enter that? You're going to be in 7th grade, huh?
Mm-hmm. I look forward to math class in math ag.
Math ag, huh? Agricultural mm-hmm. math. Well, that's a very strong specialization, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you belong to St. Augustine in Milo. What sort of religious education programs do you participate in?
I participate in CCD and I serve at church.
Oh, you do? Very good. So that is good. And a lot of your friends also are on farms or have activities like that?
Yes.
Oh, good. And do you get together with those young people when you have an opportunity? Or
sometimes.
Okay, good. And how about you, Maggie? Now, you've been part of this program in Indianola,
mm-hmm.
St. Thomas Aquinas. What activity are you involved in and enjoy there at the parish?
We have STAT, which is our like Wednesday night children, or not children, teens, I guess.
And what does that consist of, or what's that like?
We have some nights where we do discussions, and then some nights where we help people and volunteer.
Okay, so that's wonderful. Do some volunteer work and mm-hmm. bring some charity to others and assist them in a wonderful way. And the religious education coordinator down there is one who's quite prominent. Ellen, mm-hmm. have you ever taken a trip with Ellen? Or
no.
Not yet. We should sign up for it next year, huh? Because I think it's a tremendous experience, huh? And what do you like best about the experience then at the parish or church or religious education?
I like being able to help people.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, we describe that as faith in action, huh? So we're all called to take our faith, and then because we believe, you know, and then we want to share it with others because all constitute a community and all God's beloved children, you know? And especially those who have particular need, those are the ones that we try to reach out. You know, as they say in the letter to James, you know, if you come upon a person who doesn't have clothes, who's hungry, and all that sort of thing, well, nice to meet you. Good luck. But we have to kind of take our faith, reach out, and share it with others, you know, that God gave us all of the goods of the world to be able to help those who are poor and those who are particularly in need. So what are your plans for the future now? You're in you're going to be a senior this year?
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking forward to? College, possibly, in your future?
Yeah, college.
Okay. Uh-huh. And then you being a future farmer of America, is that what you think the road you're going to take, being that future farmer already?
I don't know yet.
You don't know yet? But are you attracted to that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good. So I think, you know, you're living up to the dream here in Iowa, to live in the farm and to be a producer of food for all of the world, huh? Which is so very important and so helps us a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Now, do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I have 4 siblings.
Ooh, and are they all into agriculture too and animals?
One of them is.
A brother or sister?
Sister.
Okay. And you live actually on the farm then, huh?
Yeah, it's not like a big production farm. It's more of like a hobby farm.
Oh, very good. So, and raised beyond the pigs, anything else?
We have cattle sometimes, and we have chickens, and we have a horse and a goat.
Horse and a goat, okay. Mm-hmm. You have a whole variety. You probably can open a zoo down there pretty soon with all those different animals, et cetera. Invite people to be a part of it, huh? And your brothers and sisters also like to get involved with the animals? You said the one, huh?
Yeah.
And it's a boy or girl?
Girl.
Oh, and she also takes interest in the pigs, too, or does she have other animals?
Okay. She likes pigs and goats and horses.
Goats are kind of fun, aren't they? A little stubborn, too. They climb right to the top of the hill and have their own kind of interest. So, well, Delaney, we wish you nothing but the best, huh? As you go forward and hope that you have a great school year.
Thank you.
And study math and agricultural math, and you're looking to be a farmer someday, huh?
Yes.
That's wonderful. And take care. Good to be with you, Maggie.
Thank you.
Enjoy the state fair. What's your favorite food?
Cookies in a cup.
Turkeys in a cup. Okay. In a cup, huh?
Cookies in a cup.
Oh, cookies. I'm sorry. I was going to say I had to get those turkeys in that cup. But anyway, enjoy it. Have a good time and enjoy your senior year.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Heartland of Bishop Hayes on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
CTL provides tuition assistance for Catholic school students. This coming year, many more families will qualify for aid, particularly middle-income families who now need extra support to cover the rising costs of Catholic education, which means we need your help more than ever for our kids, for families, and to empower some of the best schools in Iowa. Want to help? Please donate online at ctoiowa.org. Let's do this for the kids and their future.
Thank you to Confluence Brewing Company for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Confluence Brewing Company, brewed locally and featuring regular, seasonal, and limited release beers available in their tap room and at local stores, bars, and restaurants. Confluence has a beer garden for you, your family, and friends to enjoy. Confluence Brewing Company is located at 1235 Thomas Beck Road off the bike trail south of Grays Lake and online at confluencebrewing.com. Confluence Brewing Company, where good things come together, ingredients, ideas, and friends.
In the Heartland with Bishop Pates is heard every Friday morning at 9 across Central Iowa on Iowa Catholic Radio and in Nebraska and Southwest Iowa on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome back. I'm Kelly Mesher-Collins at the Diocese of Des Moines. We're live from the Iowa State Fair. Great interview today, Bishop.
Well, enjoyed those two girls. Have great admiration for them. You know, they've done a lot of good work. They're really developing their skills, abilities, and, you know, I think fit in within the ambient of Iowa and the Iowa culture, you know, that they're tremendously involved with the food and development of that. So, and it's kind of curious how they develop a little bit of a relationship with the animals themselves, you know, with the sheep, and also they always have a favorite pig every year. Kind of stands out, huh? Much to, I suppose, the chagrin of the other pigs who don't have the opportunity to share in that. They're probably a little jealous, would you
probably
say? So it's good fun, good things that our young people are doing and accomplishing, and, you know, kind of setting the stage for the future and their interests that they have. Mm-hmm. And so we really admire them, and young Catholics, I think, that they really enjoy and pass on kind of their sense of faith also in all of their activities. So it's great. You know, this coming week we have something that will be here on Sunday. I have an opportunity to have a Mass for Chris McCarville, who is now the president at Aquinas School in Cedar Rapids. And so he had served here with us for 4 years as the executive director of the Catholic Foundation of Southwest Iowa. So we'll be at Mass at 10:30 on Sunday at St. Ambrose to bid him farewell and for a little lunch afterwards. So again, we are so very grateful for all of those who dedicate themselves in such a wonderful way in terms of the lay vocation and service of the diocese and do so tremendous work. And Chris is certainly an example of that. Secondly, on Monday, we'll be out at Dowling Catholic High School for a Mass at 8:30. And that Mass inaugurates the annual program, what we call Faith Journey. Now, Faith Journey was undertaken about a few years ago when Dr. Deegan and I visited all the schools, talked to the teachers. And, you know, what we recognize is that in the past, with the religious women and the priests and everything, that the formation came about kind of in the course of their own development. But now we have teachers from all over different parts, do not necessarily have the faith formation. And faith is not only a matter of information, but it's also something that attaches itself to the heart. And how do we get these teachers in a way that they pass on the faith today? So we started Faith Formation, and under the direction of John Wynn, it's really grown into a very positive program. And also, so that what they do is the teachers come, they begin on Monday, initiated into the thought for the year, and this is we see, and through our seeing, then we're able to know who Jesus is and see in the other the Jesus too. So that the teachers will go through a program of with John in each of the schools, and then they also meet on a monthly basis and dig in deeply to the teaching that is the theme for the year. Then they'll share that with one another in small faith sharing groups, and then their prayer. And so they are called to bring about a real culture in our Catholic schools, so that the faith is not only something, as I said, of information, but it's something of the heart that they pass on. So it's critically important in this day and age when we're having so much, leaving of the faith and that sort of thing. And so we really have to depend very strongly on this notion of evangelization working. So I take my hat off to John. Very grateful to all the teachers, schools beginning again. And hopefully those seeds of faith are planted so very, very deeply in a very special way. Mm-hmm. And then in the course of next week, Bishop Johnson is getting ready to come to Des Moines, become the new 10th Bishop of Des Moines. So he will be in town for a few days for what we describe as orientation. Mm-hmm. And so you'll have a chance to see, what the diocese is in terms of its background, history, all that sort of thing. And also, he comes as a priest, a wonderful priest that's exercised ministry at Loras College for this number of years, and teaching philosophy, and also in director of the faith life there of the campus itself. So it would be a great time to have an opportunity to be with him, and in a certain sense to begin to pass on the baton, which we do. We enjoyed so very much here in Des Moines, but also looked forward to the next chapter in retirement.
All right, this has been another edition of In the Heartland with Bishop Pates, live from the Iowa State Fair. Thank you to our guests and all of our listeners in Iowa, Nebraska, and Wisconsin on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
In the Heartland with Bishop Pates comes to you on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network. Streaming online at iowacatholicradio.com, spiritcatholicradio.com, and heard on smartphones everywhere.